can a person carry a gun in a shul? Is a person allowed for reasons of security or whatever? More and more people today walk around armed. And the question presents itself, is this something that a person is allowed to bring into a shul or into a beis medrash? What's that?
The gabbai
has to, right? That's already a long-standing tradition, right? But anyway, what is this based on? The connection to the parasha at the very, very end of the parasha, the second to last pasuk. So we have here on the sheet, the pasuk tells us, v'mizbach avonim tasali, that Hashem says that if you're going to make a mizbeach, if you're going to make a mizbeach made out of stone, so lo sivne eshen gozis, you should not make the mizbeach out of carved stones. Why? Because of the fact that in order to get a perfectly shaped stone, you would have to have cut it in some way with some iron type of instrument. And by doing that, you have defiled it. What does this mean? So if you look right below, the Mechilta Rashi quotes it, but it's worthwhile to see it in the Mechilta in the full glory. So he says, Mikan hoy Reb Shimon ben Elazar Omer. So Reb Shimon ben Elazar used to say that HaMizbeach Nivra Laharich Shnosav Shaladam. The Mizbeach was created. What's the purpose of the Mizbeach? To lengthen a person's life. How so? Because of the fact that a person sins, so he comes to the Mizbeach, he brings a carbon, and he gets a does tshuva, and Hashem forgives him. So it lengthens a person's life. The habarzel, but on the other hand, iron is lekatzer shnos of shaladim. Iron, on the other hand, which is the basis, the basic material that weapons are made out of, comes to shorten a person's life. So therefore, the Chazal say, eino rishai lahonif hamekatzer al hamarich. Therefore, we are not allowed to give the mekatzer, to give iron, which shortens a person's life, authority to rule over the ma'arich, to rule over the mizbeach, which lengthens the person's life. So therefore, the Torah tells us, this is at the very end of the parasha yesterday, the Torah tells us that when a person, that when the mizbeach was built, ultimately the mizbeach of Avonim in the Beis HaMikdash, so it could not be made out of stones that were carved with an iron utensil. Okay, what does this have to do? So we see here a concept that when it comes to the Beis HaMikdash, there is such an inyan that a person should not use a metal type of, an iron type of instrument because of the fact that something that comes to shorten a life should not be used for something that comes to lengthen life. Now, taking it a step further, if we look number three, the Torah tells us, very interesting, in the end of Parashas Balak, so we know we have the well-known tragic incident that the Jewish people got involved in the Avodah Zarah of Baal Peor, and they got involved in a dual sin. It was Avodah Zarah, and it was also acts of immorality with the Moabite women. So the Torah tells us, as we know, that one of the leaders, one of the Nasiim, the Nasi of the Shevet Shimon, got involved with the Moabite woman. So the Torah tells us, Vayar Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen, that Pinchas, the son of Elazar, the son of Aaron HaKohen, saw what was going on. Vayokom mitocha eda, and he got up from the midst of the congregation. Vayikach romach biado, and he took a sword in his hand. And then it says, Vayavo acharash Yisrael, akuba v'yidkar ashneim, and he went ahead and he killed the two people that were involved in this incident. So we read this pasuk every year, and it's interesting that the way the Chazal saw it, that it's mashma from the pasuk that Pinchas was not, usually a person who's bearing arms is wearing them. In other words, a person, let's say a soldier carrying a rifle or some sort of gun, so he has it slung over his shoulder. In the old days, a person who wore a sword had the sword on him. So the Chazal found it interesting that the pasuk says that Vayakom mitocha eda, that Pinchas sort of removed himself from the congregation and took the spear. What does it mean he took the spear? Wasn't the spear on him? So the Gemara tells us in the Sanhedrin here, number 4, the bottom line, Vayikach romach biyado, Mikan she'ein nichnosin b'chlei zayin lebeis ha-medrash. The Chazal say that from this you see that a person is not supposed to go with any sort of weapon into a beis ha-medrash. Okay, how do you see that? Because that's what the pasuk is saying, that Pinchas needed to remove himself from the congregation. That is, he was sitting in the beis medrash. What was he doing? The Jews in the Midbar, so the Jewish people, generally speaking, in the Midbar, they were freed from all responsibility. They didn't have to work for Parnassah. They didn't have to go get food. Everything came to them. So they were immersed in the study of Torah. So Pinchas was sitting in the beis medrash, and when he heard and saw what was going on, so he needed to remove himself. Vayikach romach biyado, and then he went ahead and took his sword, meaning that his sword was not on him. When he came into the Beis Medrash, apparently they must have had some sort of coat room or a check room, and he checked in his sword. And only when he left the Beis Medrash that he picked up his sword to go out and to get involved in this incident. Okay, so thus we see a little bit of a further idea that there's an inyan. Now here, it doesn't. The Gemara does not give the explanation that the reason is because of this philosophical idea that a weapon is something which shortens a person's life. He's dealing with a Beis HaMedrash, but it seems from here that there's also that this goes into the inyan of covered Beis HaMedrash. In other words, that aside from the philosophical concept that something which is made to shorten a person's life should not be brought into an area which is made to lengthen a person's life. But in addition to that, there's an inyan that's not appropriate. The same way that when a person goes into a shul or into a beis hamedrash, you're not supposed to bring all your equipment. In other words, it's a holy place. So therefore, even though there's nothing wrong, but a mundane item isn't brought in. Let's say, for example, a person is a plumber, just to take an example. So he has his equipment, he's going to do his job, and he stops off in the morning. He's going to first daven shachris, and then he's going to go to his job. So he should not bring his equipment into this in general. Not because there's anything wrong with what he does, but because of the fact that it's not appropriate, it's not covered for a shul to bring in the mundane items. You only bring in what you need. Therefore, it seems from here that there's an inyan of covered Beis HaMedrash as well. Now, none of this yet speaks directly about a shul, but the fact of the matter is that we know that in the halacha, so when it comes to Kedushas HaMakom, so the Beis HaMikdash, the Harabayis, and the Beis HaMikdash itself had a tremendous level of Kedusha. A person who would go into the Beis HaMikdash was not allowed to go with his wallet, was not allowed to go with any personal mundane items you couldn't bring with you. Okay, in a shul, we are more lenient than that. We don't go to the strict degree that we have in the Beis HaMikdash. We don't take it to that extent. However, if you turn over the page, number 5, so the Shulchan Aruch tells us here in Hilchos Beis HaKnesses, the Shulchan Aruch says, the Yesh Osrim on the top line, the Yesh Osrim Lichnos Bo Besakin Aruch. There are those who prohibit entering a shul with a long knife. With a long knife. Oh, Berosh Megula. Now here there's a question and what these words mean, but let's say the simple understanding would be with an uncovered head, that even people who would not necessarily cover their head and wear a yarmulke all the time, but to go into a Beis HaKnesses, you have to go with a covered head. Fine. But before that, he mentions that you should not go into a Beis HaKnesses b'sakin aruch, with a long knife. Why not? So if you look in the Mishnah Berurah right underneath, the Mishnah Berurah says, l'fisha Beis HaKnesses, Shehu miyuchud l'tfila ma'areches yomav shel adam. Because of the same idea that we found in the Mechilta. Because a Beis HaKnesses, a shul, is a makom tfila. Okay, it's not like the Beis HaMikdash where you had the Mizbeach, which was a greater level. But nevertheless, we say today that we don't have karbonos, so neshalma parim sufaseinu, that we make up for the lack of karbonos with our tfilas. So therefore, a person's prayers is what's ma'arich yomav. A person has a long life because he davens, right? So v'hasakin mikatzer yemei adam, and a knife is something which shortens the life of a person. Okay, so here you have it clearly, that in a shul, here, in other words, until now we saw a halacha about the Beis HaMikdash, right, the Mizbech and the Beis HaMikdash, and then we have with Pinchas with the Beis HaKnesses, and here we have the halacha that you cannot bring a long knife into a shul because of the fact that a Beis HaKnesses is Mairechas Yomam Shaladim. So just as an aside, it's just worth taking note of this. In other words, that, you know, in terms of, you know, the regard that we have for shul, and today, you know, there's all people make, you know, there's movements, you know, stop the talking in shul and all kinds of things. We don't appreciate necessarily. In other words, here the Mishnah Berurah puts it straight out. What is the purpose of a shul? What is one of the main benefits of a shul? It's Mairechas Yomam Shaladim. In other words, tefillah lengthens a person's life. A person asks Hashem for rachamim. It lengthens his life. So therefore, if it lengthens, going to shul gives a person a richas yomim. That's what we have. Everyone's looking at people eat organic food, all kinds of health things to try to keep themselves healthy and well and go work out in gyms. Okay, it's all fine and good. But the fact of the matter is, you want to know what's the best thing to keep you alive? That's what it says over here. The best thing is, a person goes to shul. Goes as Mairechas Yomam Shaladim. To such a degree that you can't bring in a knife. You can't bring in a knife because a knife is incompatible. It's incompatible. So says the Mishnah Berurah. Okay, now that being the case, so comes the question, is a person allowed today to come with a gun? Today, where I think it's more common than it's been in recent years or probably ever, that people carry weapons, pack a gun. Okay, so can you pack a gun in shul? This is the question. Now we know that in our shuls, yeah. Okay, so from without getting personal, from what I understand, we have Baruch Hashem. You know, we're well represented in the shuls. I think in some shuls we may even have the 3rd Infantry Division be present. But the fact of the matter is that the question presents itself: is this mutter? Is this mutter? So now the question certainly presents itself in Eretz Yisrael, where you have soldiers, you have religious soldiers who go into shul, and they're carrying serious weapons, and the question again comes up: is this permissible? Do you have to check in the gun? Do you have to put it down? Now they're not able to. So quite simply, and are simply stated, as far as Eretz Yisrael, a soldier in Eretz Yisrael is clearly, there's no question, is considered a pikuach nefesh situation. Anyone who's in, you know, that who's in the army is in a role of pikuach nefesh, and unfortunately, it's a real concern. And for that reason, so just like all the Yisurim in the Torah pushed off for pikuach nefesh, except for the 3 cardinal sins, but everything else is pushed off. So therefore, there would be no question that they can't put it down. They're not allowed to put it down. It would be a sakana to put down the gun. Somebody could grab it. So therefore, in such a situation, there is no question. Okay, that just to put that, get that out of the way. In other words, that is not, nobody's going to suggest that a person who's in the military, who's in the line of duty, should have to put down his gun. His whole purpose is for protection of a real concern, generally speaking, unfortunately. So therefore, in that situation, you could say it's pikuach nefesh. The question would come up more in our shuls here. Now, unfortunately, you could make the same argument that in our times, with everything that's going on in the world, so it's also that we need armed guards. Okay, could be. It could be. The question is, to what extent, you know? And also another question which would come up would be, is this only true in a Beis HaKnesses, or is this true even if you're davening privately? In other words, if tefillah, it's not just the room of the Beis HaKnesses that's Ma'arich Yom of Shaladim. Tefillah is what's Ma'arich Yom of Shaladim. So let's say a person's davening in his house, and he carries a gun. So maybe he shouldn't wear the gun when he's davening. So there's more of an argument, because it's one thing, in a shul, you'll say, okay, in a shul, we need, unfortunately, Bizman HaZeh, we need protection. Okay, but not necessarily a person in his house, he's davening, or a person, let's say, Rechman HaZeh, they could go to an Ovel's minion, davening at a shiva house, so that you don't really need protection there. So is it okay in this situation to be carrying a gun? Okay, so this is discussed a great deal in the poskim. in the recent times. So the it simply stated, if you just looked at what the Shulchan Aruch is saying over here, it would sound like, short of pikuach nefesh, you really couldn't do it. In other words, they're saying that you should not carry, the same way you shouldn't carry a knife, because a knife shortens the person's life, so you shouldn't carry a gun either when you daven. Again, unless there's a real concern of safety, it's different. But then that pushes away everything. But if it's a question of something less than that, it's not always a pikuach nefesh situation. And people probably carry guns everywhere they go. You could be in situations where it may not be dangerous. You know, in some places maybe more than others. So the question is that, so what do we say about this? So the Taz, interestingly enough, the Taz comes along and says a very remarkable chiddush. And he bases this on, if you look at number 6 over here, so the Shulchan Aruch says, in the laws of benching, when it comes to Birchas HaMazon, so there's a halacha that most people are not familiar with, I don't think we're so careful about this, in Sif Hei, Simin Kuf Pei Sif Hei, it says, Noagin L'chasos HaSakin, B'shas Birchas HaMazon. That when a person says Birchas HaMazon, so the custom is to cover the knives. Right? Why? Again, because it's an inyan of tefillah. So we cover the knives. But he says, V'nagu shalol chasosu b'Shabbos v'yontif. The minig is not to do it on Shabbos and Yontif, but during the week, there is such an idea. There's such a minig like that people cover the knives. Because again, a knife is associated with mekatzer yom, mekatzer shnos of shaladam. And even when it comes to Birchas HaMazon, apparently there is such a concern. Why not Shabbos and Yontif? It's unclear. The Mishnah Berurah doesn't explain. But I don't know myself. But anyway, now comes along the Taz, and the Taz asks the following question. The Taz asks that if you compare this halacha to what it says in the Hilchos Beis HaKnesses, so when we learned on top that you're not supposed to have a knife in shul, if you read carefully what it says you're not supposed to have a sakin oruch, a long knife. In other words, now we know that when the Shulchan Aruch was written, so Rabbi Yosef Karo knew what he was, you know, getting himself into. He was writing this, that this should be the code of law for all of Klal Yisrael. He was very, very careful the way he worded all of his statements. So therefore, if he says here a long knife, one has the right to infer that a long knife would be different than a short knife. In other words, apparently a short knife, let's say a pocket knife, that would be okay. Whereas, when it comes to the laws of Birchas HaMazon, it doesn't make any distinction between what type of knife it is. It just says that we cover all the knives. You cover the knives. It doesn't say you cover a long knife, you don't cover a short knife. It doesn't say that. Okay, interesting. So the Taz picked up on this, and based on this question, he says, well, so why should it be? If the issue is, in other words, if you would ask me on top, why a long knife? You say, because a long knife is more of a weapon. You know, a small knife, like a pocket knife, is not such a weapon. People use it for, you know, whatever, cut small items. It's not, no one's going to use that to attack anybody, right? It's only a long knife. So if that's true, so then when it comes to Birchas HaMazon, it should be the same thing. Should be that you only have to cover the long knives. Yet he doesn't say that. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't say that. So Reb Yosef Karo, excuse me, so the Taz says a very interesting chiddush based on this. And the Taz says that the reason why it's different, he says, when it comes to Birchas HaMazon, we really cover all the knives. And the reason for that is because it's not such a big deal. That's a big deal. You have knives on the table. So what do you have? Let's say a couple of people eating together at the most. Right? So you have a few knives. So a few knives, to cover over a few knives is no big tircha. Not such a big deal. Whereas, he says, a knife that we're talking about in the Hilchos Beis HaKnesses, let's say that type of thing, we're not talking about a utensil. We're talking about a knife that a person is carrying on his person. A knife that a person is wearing, to tell a person that he has to take off something that he's wearing is more of a tircha. That's more of a bother than it is to cover a knife that's just sitting on the table. So therefore, the Taz says, when it comes to that, so the Chachamim felt that you only have to bother a person to take off something that he's wearing if it's really unnecessary, if it really has no purpose in this place. So therefore, in a shul, a long knife has no place in a shul. What are you going to do? A pocket knife, so it could be it has some sort of use. Who knows, whatever. Sometimes you need to snip something, whatever it may be. But so that, they did not tell a person that he has to bother to take away. But a long knife, but a long knife, which is something which is unnecessary, so there... That already, they felt that you should take off. In other words, if it has any use at all, if it has any relevance, so then we're not going to be matriach. We're not going to bother you to do it. They're only going to bother you to do it if it has no purpose at all. So based on this, Rav Avad Yosef wanted to say that certainly when it comes to an Israeli soldier, so for him to take off his gun is something which is a very big tircha, because of the fact that A, it presents a sakana, where you can't, where you can put down the gun, somebody could take it. But B, that's part of his uniform. That's part of it, the way he goes. So since we see that when it comes to a shul, it's not automatic. That, in other words, before the Taz, we would have said that anything at all that constitutes a weapon, you have to get rid of. However, the Taz comes and says, no, it's not so simple. Not so simple. It depends. If it's a tircha, if it's a bother, like getting undressed or whatever, removing something that you're wearing. So for that type of situation, we won't make you do it unless it has absolutely no purpose. But that means that the burden, the difficulty involved gets taken into consideration. So on that basis, he wanted to say that since for a soldier to take off his gun would be a tircha, not because it's so difficult to take it off, but because it presents a tremendous headache. Well, I can put down the gun, so I have to watch it every second. They're probably not even allowed to, but let's just say theoretically, not allowed to, but theoretically, even if you could, right? You're going to put it down, but every second he has to watch it to make sure somebody doesn't grab it. So that's a tremendous tircha. So on that basis, there would be a heter, so that is, so even if you didn't have the pikuach nefesh svara. In other words, we said originally that a soldier in the Israeli army, so okay, it's pikuach nefesh, which is true, but even if you didn't have that, he wants to say that, in other words, even let's say theoretically he was in a place, he went into a local shul in a place that was really safe. And in certain areas, not always, not a sakana every single, location. There's some places that are safer than others. So he's in a place which is a real, relatively safe location. But even so, he would not have to take off the gun because of the fact that in this situation it would constitute a tirchi yaseira, and based on the Taz, one could be lenient. Okay, now, this, though, does not help for the American Jew who's carrying a gun on him, a small gun. He doesn't have that necessarily that consideration. It's theoretically, he could leave the gun at home, right? In other words, it's not like he has to carry it all the time. It's his option. A soldier is obligated to carry a gun. A citizen who bears arms, that's his prerogative. So, you know, you don't have to come with a gun. So if you look back at the Mishnah Berurah, that we quoted originally, the Mishnah Berurah here by number 5. Yes, so he says, the Mishnah Berurah quotes, V'ayin b'liyo rabba. At the end of this little section of the Mishnah Berurah, he references one of the Achronim Eliyo Rabba, She'daito she'ein lahachmir ki'im b'sakin megula. The Eliyo Rabba says a chiddush, which the truth is, if one goes into the sugya, is highly debatable. But the fact is that he says it. Eliyo Rabba, one of the leading poskim who lived after the Shulchan Aruch was written. So he says that in his view, the reason why the Shulchan Aruch said a sakin aruch, a long knife, is because a long knife is visible. A small knife is not visible. And therefore, he wanted to say, and there is apparently, in his view, there are two issues with carrying a knife or a gun into a shul. Like we said at the outset, the basic, the philosophical issue is that a gun or a knife is a weapon, and a weapon is coming to shorten a person's life, and you shouldn't bring such a thing into a place which lengthens a person's life. That's one consideration. But the other consideration is that it's just not respectful. It's not respectful to a shul that, okay, a weapon is unfortunately a needed thing in the world, and it has its place, but in a shul, you don't just bring everything. A person comes to shul, it's a holy place, so you come, and the person comes himself, you don't bring... So to bring visible items, to bring implements, different things, utensils, so even if there's nothing wrong with them, but it's just not respectful. It's not respectful to bring it into a shul. You leave it outside, right? You come into the shul, you come in yourself to daven. So therefore, the Eliyahu Rabbah wanted to say that this is really... would be the primary issue, interestingly. And therefore, if the knife was covered, so then he wants to say that one could be lenient. Okay, he says, Ein lahachmir kiyim b'sakin megula. Okay, that being the case, so then a person was carrying a gun under his shirt, let's say. I believe that's the way it's done. Okay, so the person carrying a gun in a situation like that would be allowed. Based on this. Now, like I say, this is not universally agreed upon. You could even see from the way the Mishnah Berurah presents it that he just says, look there and you'll see that he says that. If you look in the other poskim, you will see that they don't necessarily agree. But the fact is that this is a makom that one could rely on. The Mishnah Berurah does quote it. So therefore, if it comes down to it and the person's gun is not visible, so then he doesn't have to necessarily take it off. So a person, even, like I say, a person going into a shul, so today you could make the case that in a shul is an inyan of pikuach nefesh also. It could be. It could be, it's true. In which case, then you would have an outright heter. But even without that, in other words, even let's say this shul is in a very safe location, or you're in a house of an oval, or a person is davening in his own house. Person's davening in his own house, and he gets dressed in the morning. He puts on his gun. So the halacha would be in a situation like that, that there is what to rely on. Truthfully speaking, if a person is davening in his house or something like that, it would be better, go with all the opinions. In other words, it would be better. He doesn't need to, so he shouldn't take the gun. But if it came down to it, then it's inconvenient for him, whatever, he's used to doing it. So then it seems here that you have a makom to be lenient. So therefore, the way it comes out is that as far as carrying a weapon into a shul, the halacha that we hold is that if there's a pikuach nefesh consideration, there's no question that it's mutter, that it's a mitzvah. You have to be safe. So you go into a shul. If a shul is a target, unfortunately, in the crazy world of terrorism that we live in, so unfortunately, a shul is a target. So in a situation like that, a person is allowed. That's pikuach nefesh. And if they had a security guard, does it mean that every person in the shul has to come with a gun? That already, you could debate. But certainly that there should be one or two people that maybe should be coordinated. The shul should, even besides this halacha, it would be a good idea that it should be known that we have people in every tefillah, we have people with who are armed just in case something should happen. Okay, so that's a good thing. But if it's pikuach nefesh, it's definitely mutter. Yes.
I met someone that he has a storefront. His business is in an unfriendly area, and down here.
Right.
But when he goes to shul, he carries a gun. He doesn't have the gun in the storefront. He feels more in danger when he's.
When he's where? When he's in shul. Feels more danger in shul than when he's in his office. Okay, all right. Unfortunately, okay, that's that. So then there's nothing to talk about. But that pikuach nefesh is mutter for sure. The question just is, if it's not that, the situation improves, and it's not really such a situation, or let's just say for a minute, they had a security guard in the shul. Let's say they have that. So then already you could question this. How many guns do you need? You have it ready. Okay, it's a question. So the best thing, so if it comes down to it, one could rely on the Taz. The Taz says, one could rely on the Eliyahu Rabbah, who says that if it's covered, it's mutter. To wear it exposed is different. Now, you know, unless it's a person's vocation, unless they have a policeman, a religious Jew is a police officer, okay? So in that situation, he would be the same as an Israeli soldier because that's his job. His job is to protect people from mortal danger. That's part of his job. So therefore, he's automatically considered a pikuach nefesh situation, and therefore he could go with a gun. But the average layman, that's more where the question comes up. So, okay, some consideration has to be given. Okay, so that's as far as, yes?
Yeah, what, no, I mean, like, recently, I think you had a situation at the Fort Lauderdale Airport.
Yeah.
The same thing could happen in a show.
Yeah, okay.
So if there's a person there with a gun, it would have been, you know.
Yeah, okay.
It could have been like,
oh,
no.
Okay, I agree. I'm saying, I'm not saying you shouldn't do it. I'm just saying that, you know, some consideration has to be 100%. It's probably pikuach nefesh, unfortunately, in every shul. I mean, unfortunately, it hurts to say it. Yeah.
That's going to be the first guy they pick out before they come into a shul. You got somebody posted in uniform, and they want to come into that shul. They're going to take that guy out first.
Okay. So you want to say even with a security guard? Okay. 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 All right. I'm just pointing out that if Mitz Hashem, the situation will improve and you don't have these unfortunate considerations that we have today, there is a question. That's all I'm saying. There is a question. And a person davening in his own house or a person davening in a place that's not a target, okay, so you know, you're not going to say that every single place is a davening in an uncle's house or whatever it may be. So then, if it is possible to avoid it, probably would be better. Okay, now this applies to the regular halacha of davening. Now, what about on Shabbos? What about on Shabbos carrying a gun? Okay, so the question here, there are two questions that come up. Okay, the first question is a gun muktzah? Is a gun muktzah? Right? Now, you'll say, simply stated, it would seem that a gun should be muktzah. Why? Because a gun should be in the category of, there are different categories of muktzah we know, and the different categories of muktzah have different rules. So one of the more lenient categories of muktzah, but muktzah nonetheless, is called kli shemalachta le'iser, an item that is generally used to do something which is forbidden on Shabbos. Okay, now, for example, a pen is something which you use to do something you're not allowed to do on Shabbos, not allowed to write. Okay, so therefore, a pen is considered muktzah on Shabbos, and a person, generally speaking, not supposed to move it. Okay, when it comes to this level of muktzah, there are leniencies. A person can move it with tzarech gufo and makomo. I don't want to get into the discussion of muktzah, but the fact is that it remains muktzah. Now, a gun is a kli shemalachta le'iser because a gun, the way a gun works, is that a gun creates some sort of fire that ignites the gunpowder to shoot. Okay, so that probably would be considered mavir, which is one of the 39 malachas, creating a fire, which would make a gun a kli shemalachta le'iser. And that being the case, what about
using it to draw blood?
Using a gun?
Secondary iser.
Oh, you're going to kill somebody. Yeah, that's also true. Yeah, okay, that's also true. And killing somebody is a malacha too. Right, that's correct. Right, shochet. Right, that's one of the 39 also. Okay, so, right. So that being the case, so then one could argue that carrying a gun on Shabbos would be a problem of muktzah. Now, again, if you're going to go, it's pikuach nefesh, so then that pushes off Shabbos too. But very interestingly enough, what's that?
Primary purpose of a gun is not to shoot, it's to intimidate.
Ah, very good. So the Chiddush, it was said by Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach that he said that something which is a very interesting idea, that the primary use of a gun is intimidation. The primary use of a gun is not to shoot, right? The primary use of a gun is that when a person sees a gun, he behaves himself. Right? In other words, a person may have had a sinister. Now, obviously, in a war, that's not true. But in civilian use, so to speak, in other words, when people carry around guns, the purpose is to intimidate other people to behave themselves. So therefore, he wanted to say that if that's the case, then it would not be considered a Kli Shemalach Tal Isser, because of the fact that Kli Shemalach Tal Isser means that its primary use is for something that's prohibited, and he claims that that's not the primary use of a gun. The primary use of a gun is to show people that we're, you know, everyone behave themselves, okay? We're not playing games over here, okay? And therefore, that's what he wanted to say. I saw last night, I looked online, I saw a study, I don't know if this is true, but they say that between 500,000 and 1,000,000 incidents per year of situations where guns intimidated somebody from acting out of line. I don't know how they measure that, how you could determine.
The NRA.
Right, okay, I'm just saying, but the fact of the matter is that that's what they're claiming. So this is what he said. So this is what he said, and therefore he says, not a Kli Shemalach Tal Isser. So you could, so on that basis, a person would be able to carry a gun on Shabbos. Okay.
Peacemaker,
yeah, okay.
So why do you have to have your gun unconcealed so people are intimidated?
Okay, so then this crosses into the other area. In other words, if you're carrying the gun under your shirt, you're not intimidating anybody, right? Unless it's known that... Yeah, okay, so I don't know. So the truth be told, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach was saying it for the soldiers. In other words, he was saying that there is no question that they could walk around with the guns on Shabbos because of the fact that, now, what about a civilian who has the gun under his shirt? He's not intimidating anybody. Okay, so that could be a question. Maybe you'll say on Shabbos you should wear the gun out. I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, yes, sir.
I assume the rationale is that since it's known, then that's the intimidation. In other words, people won't want to start up.
Because they know.
Because in fact, it's better intimidation. Because until now.
Well, how do they know?
Because the guy might have a gun.
You're saying.
It used to be that you would pick a fight with a guy on the street. If he was armed, I would have to.
You're saying today people are more afraid. Okay.
For all I know, the guy has
okay.
A gun.
Okay, I don't know. This is a little bit of a question. In other words, if that's what we're relying on, see, if it's pikuach nefesh and you feel that you have to have security in a shul, so then okay, finished. That discussion is over. But if it's not that, so then a little bit you have to think about this. In other words, I can't say for sure. In other words, his story was, if it's visible, it's intimidating, fine. If it's not visible, so you're saying, okay, it could be that it's known today, you don't start with people because you never know who's carrying a gun. It could be. That's what it was.
They were firing a gun, but not necessarily bullets.
Not a...
The gun, but not bullets.
What do you mean? Well, that's also intimidation. If you see a guy with a whole thing of bullets, I certainly wouldn't start up with him. I'd be much likely to start up with a guy who just had one or two shots. You know, guys wearing a whole ring of bullets. I don't know. I'm just saying maybe this has to be given a little consideration. In other words, there are people that walk around with guns just as a habit, that's they feel safe. Today, a lot of times, it's not just being done because of the safety of a shul. You have people who don't necessarily go to shul that'll still, you could have theoretically a man who woke up late. He didn't go to shul that Shabbos, but he's still walking around with his gun. So the question is, so what's the hetzer for that? So
he doesn't have a
ring. Okay. All right, I'm just saying. In other words, is it pikuach nefesh to walk around? A little bit you have to think about these things. In other words, before a person just does it routinely, in Eretz Yisrael is no question. But here, where it's not exactly the same situation and it's not worn the same way, so a little bit thought has to be given to this. Like, is that... Okay, if it's known that people have guns in the shul, so then it's intimidating. Okay? then it's not muksa. It's not muksa. A gun that intimidates is not muksa. In other words, let's say, for example, a person had a rifle that he goes into shooting competitions with. Right? In other words, this is a high, whatever, quality rifle that's used for hunting or, you know, incredible precision. So that's not carried for intimidation. In other words, there are different types of situations. So, okay, some thought has to be given. Yeah.
A handgun, which you need objective, taking the gun out.
Yeah. Yes.
Don't take it out. You take it out.
Well, okay, I don't know. Okay, I don't know the mentality well enough. I don't know. If you look here in the Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa number 7, so he says, very interestingly, this is from based on Rav Shlomo Zalman, he says, Mutar lo omed ala mishmar, kigon ish mishtara o mishmar ezrachi. If you have a person who is a policeman or a civilian patrol, which they have in Eretz Yisrael, many neighborhoods, they have Mishmar Ezrachi, they have civilian patrols. So, im hachshash l'sakona mechayves hadavar. So he says that if the sakona is real, well, kachas imo rove v'shar kli neshek is allowed to take a gun and any other weapons. Gam im yotzienu michutz le'eruv. Okay, so this brings up the final question, which is, what about in a place where there's no Erev? So here, in our neighborhood, Baruch Hashem, there's an Erev, so there's no question of carrying. But let's say you're in a place where there's no Erev. So Shlomo Zalman said that this Sefer Shmir Shabbos Kolchos is written by one of his students, and he was in consultation. So he said that, you know, obviously, not just a soldier, but even a person who's in civilian patrol in Eretz Yisrael, who, you know, his turn comes up on Shabbos, is a religious Jew, he's allowed to carry the gun because of the fact that that's the demands of the job and it's pikuach nefesh, and even chutz le'eruv, even in a place where there is no eruv, he could do that. In fact, in a later place, he has a very interesting ruling that somebody asked him, that a religious guy, so he was part of civilian patrol, and his turn came up on Shabbos. So he wanted to switch with a person who wasn't religious, that person should take his turn, and he'll take the turn during the week. And he said, absolutely not. He said, you Dafka should go on Shabbos. He said, because of the fact that the other guy has to keep Shabbos too. So just because he doesn't keep Shabbos, that doesn't mean that he's allowed to not keep Shabbos. So if you do it, if you're the religious guy, you at least know the halacha. So Shabbos will be better kept if you do it than if he does it. So therefore, he said, it's forbidden, as he said. He said, it's us to switch. You have to do it. You have to go yourself. You can't push it on somebody else. Yes?
That's exactly how the Paschim would react to the war. Because at the time, there was no public transportation.
Yes. Yeah.
So it was a question of who was going to drive people to the hospital. And notice in the doctor, should it be a religious Jew or a non-religious Jew?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
That only a shomer should do it.
Should do it.
Every time he would stop, he would have a safety to pick up something and learn.
Yeah.
And then he'd dress for the big day Shabbos,
right.
And beyond. And
right.
And he said, under no circumstances, somebody who's a secular Jew can do that.
Right, right. It's an interesting thing. In other words, we have to take that into consideration. That, you know, people, you know, we like to think about ourselves first, but you have to take into consideration, I have a responsibility to all Jews. So just because this person doesn't keep Shabbos, but he's obligated to. So you have to see to it that why should you put him in that situation? You're hurting him. Do it yourself. You know what to do. See, it's mutter to do it. You know that halacha? Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Well, this case is talking about a person with military responsibility. Now, okay, so now, let's say, though, here, in North Miami Beach, let's say there was no Erev. Let's say there was no Erev. So now the question is, can you carry a gun in that situation? So again, if it's pikuach nefesh, so it's the same way everything else gets pushed away, this gets pushed away too. But if short of that, then really a person should not. Because of the fact that a gun is not considered part of a person's clothing. In other words, on Shabbos, you could something that's considered your clothing, you could wear. But a gun is not considered that, right? So therefore, just because a person wears it all the time doesn't mean anything. That doesn't make it part of your levush. That's not, clothing is defined as something that protects your body and so forth from dirt, from the elements, whatever, right? A gun is a different thing. So therefore, it... That what?
The gun's going to be the buckle.
I don't know how you... that I've never seen, but without a shot. Okay, if somebody can figure out how to do that. But the point is that in a situation like that, that's where you have to give thought to this. In other words, people who are used to carrying guns have to think about that. In other words, you have to make a realistic assessment. Is it really a pikuach nefesh? If you're going into a shul, so then in today's world, you could make the good argument that in a shul there should be somebody armed. You could make that argument, right? But walking in the street, who says that's true? Walking in the street is a sakonis nefeshes. Nobody considers that. No, it's not, right? No, you, a regular person walking in the street. So if there's an Eruv, so okay, so it's not carrying. Is it mukta? So you'll say it's not mukta either. Okay, fine. But it, you know, if there's no Eruv, not every place has an Eruv. Sometimes Eruv's down even where they have it. So then you have to think about it. That's not just good. You know, you get used to doing it every single day, and a person stops thinking about it. So this a person has to just take these things into consideration. So I don't know, let's finish up here. So just in summary...
What's the percentage that makes it a pikuach nefesh?
I don't know.
I mean, in the
60s... Pikuach nefesh, even for a suffix. Right, so we discussed once, a suffix, even a suffix pikuach nefesh, even a svek svek of a pikuach nefesh. I personally think that in today's situation, in any shul, there's an element of sakana. Unfortunately, you don't want to say it, you don't want to think about it, but every place is a target. Look, all the yeshivas, all the schools, every place has security guards, right? This is a big expense that's being put on everybody, and why they're doing it, because that's the world. That's the world. So if that's the world, you have to take it seriously. I don't think anybody could say with conviction that it's for sure not a, it's not even a suffix sakana. I don't know. It's the rabbi of the shul. That's his call. You know, the rabbi of the shul can make the call. He wants to say that he doesn't think it's a sakana, okay? But it would seem that the way things are going in the current unfortunate climate, that it is a sakana. So then, okay, then it would be mutter. But you know, you just a little bit. People just have to think when you get used to doing a certain thing every day. You sort of take it for granted. And what happens if you're not going to shul that day and you just I'm going to walk the streets? So that is that a sakana? You know, maybe. So what would it be relevant to? In other words, when it comes to davening is in a shul, but let's say davening in a house, maybe it's different. Okay, and on Shabbos, even if we'll say you'll go with Rav Shlomo Zalman Svara, but it could be not everybody agree. You know, it is debatable, that point, that the primary use of a gun is intimidation. Now, there's no question that a gun is a big form of intimidation. But in order that it shouldn't be a klisha malach l'lisa, you have to say it's the primary. So that is that could be debatable. He's a big gadol. He said it, so okay. If he took the responsibility for that, he had very broad shoulders. Okay, that's what he said. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, that point is, could be debated. So therefore, all things being equal, in Eretz Yisrael, there's nothing to talk about. Israeli soldiers, nothing to talk about. There's a cop, you know, whatever, mishtara, mishmar zrachi, nothing to talk about. But in America, it's not quite the same. And therefore, a little bit, a person maybe just should look into these things and see, is it so simple? Is it such a simple thing that I should walk around with this on Shabbos? Maybe yeah, maybe no. During the week, in a shul, probably no problem. In a davening somewhere else, okay, hard to know. You know, there's definitely, you could rely on the Taz. The Taz says that if it's covered, it's mutter everywhere. I mean, not the Taz, I mean the Eliyahu Rabbah that the Mishnah Berurah quotes. Okay, so be it. But it just worthwhile taking into consideration this idea that in general a person should not, and you know, other weapons, in other words, a gun may be different than a knife. In other words, you know, like when the Shulchan Aruch says about a sakin aruch, in other words, let's just say for a minute, a butcher returning home from work who's carrying his knife and he has to go daven mincha. So maybe he shouldn't bring that into shul. You know what I'm saying? They already have people with guns, right? He's not gonna start, you know, wielding a. Okay, I don't know, but the point that a weapon is makatzer yom of shalodim. And a Beis HaKnesses is Marich Yom of Shalom, and therefore there's a certain measure of incompatibility there, is something that's worthwhile considering for a number of reasons. And, I think it's inspiring to think that that's, you know, you can't bring such a thing into a shul, because a shul is Marich Yom of Shalom. Next time people go into shul and start schmoozing or running out to do who knows what, check their emails, you have to realize it's a privilege to go into a shul. It's a privilege, Marich Yom of Shalom. It gives a person long life. A person davens gives them more than anything else. Well, it's true, you have to do all the other ishtadlis. A person should eat healthy and exercise and sleep and all these things. But after everything's said and done, the main thing is the tefillah. So a person goes into makom tefillah, should at least have respect and reverence for that place and a certain appreciation that when I come into this place, I'm not just doing my duty of davening three times a day, but this is something that's directly beneficial to me. This is something that keeps me going. Yes, sir.